Well, as you know, those were pictures taken of Love Your Neighbor Week. Let me ask you to do something this morning. If you participated in any part of Love Your Neighbor Week, would you just stand to your feet real quick? All over, stand up. If you participated in anything, would you stand up? Thank you so much. Thank you for what you did and many others who gave and helped put together a lot of those things. You never know in the process of demonstrating love to your neighbor and to those around us as the name of Jesus is being presented. You never know when it's going to touch a life and change someone. So thank you for what you did. Thank you for your participation. And thank you. We'll trust God with the results over the next coming weeks. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me in them to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the 30th chapter. This morning, I'm not preaching from a primary text. It's going to kind of be Bible sword drill this morning, going to a number of verses. You know, the series that I'm about to do this morning, God just really put on my heart to preach here. And I don't always understand why. I don't know. I learned a long time ago when God put something in my heart, I just preach it and leave the results to Him. Maybe someone here today needs to hear it. If you don't, I needed to be reminded of some of the things I'm going to preach this morning. And in saying that, I want to remind you that anytime I'm preaching and I got one finger going out, there's three coming right back at me. So I'm preaching at me too. I need to hear some of what's being said. So this is for me, if for no other reason. And I really believe one of the great needs we have today in the church is for us to be able to clearly hear from God on all issues of life and living, and then to do what He says, to obey Him. And if we stop listening to God, and if we stop doing what God tells us, individually or as a church, we're in trouble. But if you're going to walk with the Lord, if you're going to walk victoriously with Him, if you're going to walk hand in hand with God and experience His fullness in life, you've got to learn how to listen to Him and then how to walk in obedience to what He says. So that's the series is entitled Listen. If I had to subtitle it, it would be The Importance of Hearing God's Voice. And that's what I want us to talk about over these next number of weeks. And I hope it will be an encouragement to you. I hope it will challenge you and maybe give you a little bit different perspective on how God does speak to us as His people. Franklin D. Roosevelt was the 32nd president of the United States. He served as president from 1933 to 1945. It's interesting to note about him, as you well know, he's the only president of the United States to have served in the role of president for more than two terms in office. I wonder this morning, how many of you here today were living when he was serving as president? Would you put your hand up in the air? Come on, let's say, I know you're old when you do that, but just put your hand up. You're admitting it. I'm just curious. There's a few out there you will remember him serving. Well, I remember years ago when I was first putting together this series of messages, I read a story about him that was both interesting and very humorous, but it certainly illustrates the point that I hope to make this morning and with this series of messages. It was told that President Roosevelt decided once to find out if anybody in his administration was really paying attention to what he was saying. Obviously, he suspected many of those around him were not really listening to him. So this is what he did. He came to the White House on one particular day, and as each person came up to greet him, he extended his hand for a handshake, flashed a big smile at them, and said the following, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." Later, he shared that most people would just automatically respond with comments such as, "How lovely, Mr. President," or "Just continue with the good work, Mr. President." Nobody was really listening to what he was saying except one foreign diplomat. When the president said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning," The diplomat responded softly by saying, "Mr. President, I'm sure she had it coming." And that was his response. That is a funny story indeed. But I wonder, folks, if that's not how many of us listen to God sometimes. God is speaking. He has spoken. He continues to speak. But I wonder, do we really listen to what he is saying? We may even hear him sometimes, but are we really listening to what he has to say to each of us? That's what I want to deal with in this series of messages. There was an old Spanish proverb that goes like this, and this is another aspect of this matter of listening. The proverb says, "Two great talkers will not travel far together." And that's true, isn't it? And the reason for that is obvious. You've got to have somebody listening while the others are talking. And I'm afraid for many of us in our Christian life, if we're honest, when it comes to our relationship with God, we're the ones doing the talking. We haven't learned to listen to what God has to say. And I've had people over the years come up to me, in particular when I've preached on this topic, and said, "Brother Ken, I don't know that I hear God speak," to which I have asked sometimes very pointedly, "Well, have you shut up long enough to listen to him?" And many times we don't. And we wonder why God's so foreign to us, why he seems to be so distant, why we really don't hear him. Or if we do hear him, are we really listening to what he has to say? Hey, folks, when you learn to listen and then you learn to follow what he's saying, it will change your life, I promise you. Isaiah, the 30th chapter, verse 21, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. By the way, I recommend a great movie for you. It's a movie called 7 Days in Utopia. It's actually about a golf pro that went sour in life, and over the process of 7 days in the town of Utopia, Texas, he came to meet Jesus and he came to meet himself and had a life-changing experience with the Lord. A great movie, great movie. I saw it being played just the other day, I think, on the Golf Channel. But in the process of it, the opening of scene of that movie, here's this golf pro who we learn about in the movie. He's out hitting one ball after the other out in the open, and all of a sudden this verse flashes up on the screen because it has a lot to do with the story of the movie. And this is what it says, speaking of the Holy Spirit. It says, "Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it whenever you turn to the right or turn to the left." Old Testament Isaiah. That verse is loaded. It has many applications. It has much meaning for us. But one of those applications, I believe, it is an Old Testament prophecy about the coming of the teacher, that being the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit will work in the life of God's children. Again, listen to the verse. "Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or turn to the left." And all throughout the Bible, as we'll see this morning, we are taught of the importance of hearing God's voice. And not just hearing God, but truly learning to listen. In fact, I would frame it this way. Hearing God and listening to God is both the privilege and the responsibility of us as believers. Now let me say that again. Hearing God, listening to God, is both the privilege and the responsibility of every believer. And hey, folks, God not only desires to speak to his people, he is speaking to us. He is speaking. Our problem is not with God speaking. Our problem, all too often, is with our listening. And again, if we ever want to be what God wants us to be, if we're ever going to live a life pleasing to God, we must learn to hear his voice. We must learn to carefully listen to what he has to say to us. Here are some other scriptures that deal with this throughout scripture, and I'm going to give you many of them over the next couple of weeks. Matthew, the 11th chapter. I'm going to read verses 11 down through verse 15. Matthew 11, verses 11 down through verse 15. These speak of the importance of hearing God's voice. Truly I, this is Jesus, truly I say to you, he's speaking to primarily Pharisees, those gathered to hear him. Truly I say to you, among those born of woman, there is not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, that the kingdom of heaven, or in the kingdom of heaven, suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And then Jesus said, and if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. Now that was hard for the people back in that day, in particular those who were gathered, many Pharisees at that time, to accept this. And that's why Jesus said what he did here. John himself is Elijah who was to come. And then Jesus follows that up with this following statement. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And what's interesting to me, that phrase appears 17 different times in the New Testament. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. First of all, you must have ears to hear. Now, it's interesting to me that Jesus was speaking to people who had physical ears. But obviously, he was not talking about physical ears. He's talking about spiritual ears. In other words, you must have spiritual ears to be able to hear God speak. My physical ears alone will not allow me to receive what God says. I must have ears that are given to me at my new birth. Only those who have been born again have the spiritual capacity to hear God. You won't hear God speak with physical ears only. It takes spiritual ears to be able to get on God's frequency, to be able to hear him speak. I'm pretty sure I use this illustration since I've been here, but it proves my point, and it really is a good illustration, and it goes back to my early days of loving music. A lot of that love early days kind of sent me sideways. I got involved in the rock music and rock culture of the hippie movement many, many years ago. Some of y'all don't even know what the hippie movement was, but that was where I was, and I loved music. Ate, slept, drank, played music all the time. And back in those days, I just listened on what I could on the AM radio. And if you remember AM radio, you never knew what you were going to get. Most of the time it was what? Static. And any kind of little storm around messed it up. Or if you traveled too far away from the tower, you couldn't get it. So I was listening to music on the radio. Most of the time it was being interrupted. And one day I'd gone to a friend's house and noticed as he was listening to some music that his music didn't have static. It was loud and clear, perfect coming through. And I thought, man, that's great. I'm going to see if I can find that channel on my radio. So I went back to my radio, looked all over for that channel. I could not find it. You know why I couldn't find it? He was listening to FM channels. My radio was AM. I did not have the right frequency to be able to pick up what was being played over the air. And folks, that's how lost people are. Hey, you tell somebody today, I hear God speak, and they'll look, if they're lost, they'll look at you like you're crazy. They'll back away from you. They think you belong on the loony farm. But I got news for you this morning, folks. Listen to me. I hear God speak. If you are a believer in Jesus, you have the capacity to hear God speak. You don't hear him with physical ears. It takes spiritual ears to hear God. That's why lost people don't have a clue. That's why they don't get it. That's why they don't understand. They don't have that right frequency built in them to be able to receive what God has to say. We must hear God speak. and only those who have ears can hear him. But folks, having ears, it requires something else. Even when you have those spiritual ears, it requires a choice to listen to God. Now, you husbands know what I mean by that, don't you? Your wife is talking to you. You may hear her speak, but are you listening to her? Could you repeat what she just said? Do you have a clue what she just said? Or did you just hear noise? Don't answer that question this morning. Some of y'all are going. That's how we do God a lot of times. We hear him, but we don't choose to listen. Hey, folks, we must hear and we must choose to listen. You find this taught so many places. If you go to the book of the Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, and I'm not going to take the time to read all this morning, but chapters 2 and 3 are the seven letters to the seven churches of the Revelation. You'll notice if you have a red letter edition Bible, that being the words of Jesus in the Bible highlighted in red, you will note that even over in the book of the Revelation, the last book in the Bible, chapter 2, chapter 3, are red lettered. Why? It's Jesus speaking to his church. Seven different times to seven different churches, Jesus gives his final words to the church. And boy, how powerful those words are. We would do well to pay attention to them in this church age of ours. But I want you to notice something. Revelation 2:7, Revelation 2:11, Revelation 2:17, Revelation 2:29, Revelation 3:6, Revelation 3:13, Revelation 3:22. Seven different times, Jesus repeats the same message to every one of his churches. And after speaking to every one of these churches about their needs and about who they were and about what they needed to become, he finishes up his words to them by saying the same thing. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. You must have spiritual ears to hear Jesus speak. And then you must make a choice to listen with those spiritual ears. We must learn to listen. That's the importance of it. Jesus' parting words to us is to listen. Listen to him. Hebrews, the third chapter, verses 7 down through verse 12. The writer of Hebrews offers some strong words of warning to those who are followers of Christ. The writer reflects back on the disobedience and the lack of faith from the people of God as they were being delivered from Egypt and were on their way to the promised land. And I want you to listen at what God had to say to his people, what he has to say to us today. Hebrews 3, 7 to 12, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice. And let me repeat myself, folks. He has spoken and he still speaks today. He is speaking. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation, and I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they do not know my way. As I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. And then this writer of Hebrew repeats this warning in verse 15 when he writes, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. God speaking to his people. Do not harden your hearts. You have to ask the question, how do you harden your hearts towards God? Listen, folks, your heart will be hardened when you hear his voice and you do not do what he tells you to do. This is what the people in the wilderness did. God had clearly spoken to them. They had heard his voice, but they had not truly listened. They heard him speak, but they did not listen to him. For if they had listened to him, they would have obeyed by faith. But they hardened their heart. God, I hear you, but I ain't going to do what you say. I'm not budging. We're not moving. And I wonder today if that's not where many of us are. And folks, I have to just be honest with you, particularly in being able to minister in many churches today, like I have the privilege of being able to do. I preached last two Sundays. I didn't get a vacation from preaching. I was preaching. I was preaching in a small little Baptist church on the southeast Georgia coast. Struggling church. I love those people. I love their pastor. But I don't know how they keep their doors open. And God's been speaking to them about changing some things and doing some things different. And they need to do some things different. Now, theologically, they dot the I's, they cross the T's, they're right where they need to be. But just from a practical standpoint, they just have refused to do some things they need to do to change. God has spoken to them about these things, but they've not listened. They're going to die if they don't change. Now, that's what happens many times to many churches. Well, let me go on this morning. Let me ask a question. What do we as believers need to do to properly hear and listen to God? And what must be true in our lives if we're genuinely going to hear and listen to his voice? And this morning, I want to give you three answers to that question. I'll do it quickly. And over these next couple of 3 weeks, I'm going to build on this for a little bit, if I can help you. And I hope this will be a challenge to you. I hope it will help you. This is so simple, it's unbelievable, folks. It's also life-changing. What do I need to happen in me to be able to hear and listen to the voice of God? Number one, I need open ears that are quick to listen. I need an overjoyed heart that is quick to receive. And thirdly, I need an obedient will that is quick to obey. Now let me just deal with each one of those for a moment. We'll close this morning. Number one, I need open ears that are quick to listen. That goes back to the story of President Roosevelt. Funny story. People heard, but they weren't listening to him. They really wasn't paying him any attention. Out of courtesy, because he was the president, they heard him, but they weren't listening. It goes back to this Spanish Proverbs. Two people who talk much will not travel very far. Someone must listen. Our hearing, taking time to listen to God can be a real problem. We've not learned to listen to him. We're doing all the talking. We're not listening to what God has to say. Let me reemphasize something here. The type of ears that are needed to hear God only come from spiritual birth. Our natural ears only will not allow us to hear the voice of God. We have to have spiritual ears, but we also must choose to listen with those spiritual ears. We have to have ears that are open to listen to what God has to say to us. One of the stinging rebukes given by Jesus to the Pharisees of that day were exactly in this area. You know, boy, the Pharisees, Jesus just got on them all the time, didn't he? I mean, these were the religious people of those days, but they were dead in their religion. Hey, folks, it takes more than religion to please God. It takes a vital relationship with him, and these Pharisees didn't have it. They could follow the letter of the law, but they knew nothing of life in the spirit. They too had physical ears because they heard Jesus say some of these words and they got angry at Jesus. But they didn't listen to what Jesus had to say. They didn't have spiritual ears to hear him. They rejected what he said and it brought judgment upon them. But listen to what Jesus had to say to them once. This is found in John 8, verses 42 to 47, speaking to these Pharisees, these religious people. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying?" And then Jesus answers this question. You can imagine this ticked off these Pharisees. "Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the word of God, and for this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God." You don't have spiritual ears. And again, boy, doing what I've done these many years, I've preached to many of people. And boy, most folks, you just preach, and some people are like spiritual sponges. They can't get enough. They're locked in on every word coming from God's word. They hunger and thirst for his word. They want God to speak. What a joy it is to preach to such. But folks, I've preached to many a person that looked like they were bored out of their gourd. Looked like they had no spiritual interest whatsoever. In fact, if the truth be made known, they didn't even want to be in church. You know why? There's no spiritual life in them. They have no spiritual capacity to hear. All this religion stuff is boring to them. They don't have spiritual ears. We must have those spiritual ears. We must have open ears that are quick to listen to the voice of God. Ready to listen when he speaks. But we need to be like young Samuel. You remember him? You remember Samuel and Eli in the Bible? Eli was his teacher, teaching young Samuel about the priesthood. And you go over to 1 Samuel, the third chapter, you pick up the story about Eli and Samuel. And after hearing a voice calling him a number of times, Eli instructs young Samuel that it's God. Eli recognized, he discerned it was God trying to speak to young boy Samuel. So he gives Samuel a great piece of advice. And this is what he says. This is in verses 10 and 11 of 1 Samuel 3. He said, "Then the Lord came and stood and called as the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said," and this is what Eli had told him to say, "'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Samuel realized God was speaking to him. Eli helped him discern that truth. And now his teacher Eli says, "Samuel, the next time God calls your name, you listen up. You tell the Lord, speak, for you're listening." And then the Bible says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I'm about to do a new thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.'" Samuel, I'm about to do a new work. I'm about to do something wonderful. I'm about to do something great. Obviously, he wanted to include this young boy in what he was about to do. But Samuel had to get to the place that he could say, "Lord, speak, for your servant is listening." I love the book of James. Depending on how long I stay here as your interim, if once I finish this series, I'm going to do another short series, and then I'm going to if the committee hadn't found anybody yet, I'm going to go to the book of James and preach through it, because I just think it's a great book for a church that's in transition. But James 1:9, you find these words written to us, and it really says the same thing that it says in 1 Samuel 3. "This you know, my beloved brethren," James writes, "but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." When it comes to God's voice, we must be quick to hear. By the way, somebody said once, God really wants us to listen to him, learn to listen more than we talk, and he demonstrates and illustrates that by giving us two ears and one tongue. So we ought to listen twice as much as we speak. Listen. Be quick to hear. Folks, the bottom line is this: you and I must have open ears, spiritual ears, that are quick to hear the voice of God. Secondly, not only must we have open ears, we must have an overjoyed heart that is quick to receive. You know, it's one thing to hear God speak. It's quite another thing to receive what he's saying to us. Many times God speaks, but we don't like what he's saying, so we don't really receive it into our lives. After telling us in the book of James to be quick to hear, James goes on to tell us the following in verse 21 of that first chapter. "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Once we put away sin and wickedness from our hearts, we have humble hearts, we can then and must receive what God is saying to us. A lot of people hear what God has to say, but they won't receive what God has to say to them. I'll give you two simple examples. You know that a believer ought to read his Bible. We have to abide in his word. It needs to be a part of our life. And God's spoken to you about that over and over again. You need to have time, I think, on a day-to-day basis. Somehow you get into God's word. You know that to be true. You know God's spoken that truth to you. He speaks it in his word. He's spoken to your spirit. Here's the test to see if you really received it. Are you doing what he told you to do? Do you read your Bible? Or do you get more interested in looking on your iPad or iPhone than reading God's word? Had you rather turn on the news and listen? Well, that'd bless your heart. Start your day off listening to the news, won't it? Have you received? You know a believer ought to read their Bible. That's a simple, elementary truth. Have you received it? Here's another one. Oh boy, like a Baptist preacher to go to tithing in a message like this. You know what the Bible teaches about tithing. You know what it teaches about giving. Do you want me to remind you? I can do that. You've heard it probably, if you've been in a Baptist church, you've heard it most of your life. And it's been preached and taught because it's biblical. God's word's clear on the matter. You know it's right. You know a Christian ought to tithe and give. Are you? Do you? Have you received it for you? Or is that for everybody? I had one person. I couldn't believe they were so bold. People. Oh, my word. These were actually people that were visiting our church one time, told me that they would not be tithing because God told them they didn't have to. I'm going to talk about that next week, by the way. Not the tithing part, the God telling them something different. God didn't tell you you didn't have to. If you think he did, you're listening to the wrong God. You've been deceived. We know truth. We know when God speaks, but do you receive what he has to say to you? I had this illustrated in my own life one time when I've told you when I was pastoring First Baptist Church of Lilburn, we were, our adopted country that we adopted was the country of Yemen. I noticed the other day, I read an article of the 10 most dangerous countries in the world to go to right now. Do you know what was number one? Yemen. I cannot tell you how horrible of a place Yemen is. But it's full of people who are deceived by false religion, who Jesus died for, and who desperately need the gospel. And God had led our church to minister in ways that we could in Yemen. And the ways that we could, we had to be very careful. We had to be very covert in what we were doing. We had to go around our elbow to get to our nose to be able to do some of what we were doing. But we tried to find ways to minister to the Yemeni people, both in the country of Yemen and in other places in the world. We sent teams into Yemen. And I remember many a time standing in the pulpit of First Baptist Lilburn telling folks, we need some more people to go to Yemen. And I reminded them, God put it on our heart to go to Yemen. God made it clear that we were supposed to send teams to Yemen. So you need to go, you need to go, you need to go. And one day I said that from the pulpit and I heard God speak. I didn't hear him audibly, but I heard him right here. You know what God told me? You go. You go. Well, I didn't tell God no. I think I know better than that. But I sure thought it. God, I don't want to go. I don't want to go over there. I don't think I'll like it. It's dangerous. I won't like the food. Have you ever tried to tell God no when he's told you something? Have you figured out it don't work? You're wasting your breath. But God said go. I heard him. It was crystal clear. I had to make a choice. Was I going to receive it? Or was I going to ignore it and harden my heart? Folks, the proof that you've heard God is in your receiving it. And then that leads us to the third thing, and I'll finish with this. You need open ears that are quick to listen. You need an overjoyed heart that's quick to receive. And the proof that you've received it is that you need an obedient will that is quick to obey. The proof that you hear, you've listened to God, and that you've received for yourself what God has said is the fact that you obey what he says. You do it. We've become professional hearers, but not many doers. Folks, you can say you believe God all day long. You can say you hear God all day long, but until you do what God tells you to do, you've not heard anything. Jesus preaches the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. He's coming to the conclusion of his sermon. He's bringing application to those who are listening. This is how he applies what he just preached. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. The one who obeyed. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Those who hear and do not obey. James reminds us, do not be hearers only who deceive themselves, but be a doer of the word. Vance Havner once put it this way, you have not really learned a commandment until you have obeyed it. The church suffers today from Christians who know volumes more than they practice. Open ears to hear God speak. Overjoyed heart that receives it, what God says. An obedient will that is quick to obey. You know, one of the blessings about living in America is that we have options in life. And options most of the time are good. When we were moving from Cuthbert, Georgia, to Valdosta, Georgia, we had our two little boys. I think our youngest at that time, Joel, was what, 6, 7, somewhere in that neighborhood. Our oldest was 3 years older than he was. And we in Cuthbert, after church on Sunday nights, you had two choices about what you were going to eat. Hardee's or go home. That was it. And I cannot begin to tell you how horrible the Hardee's in Cuthbert was. But my boys thought that was cool to go to Hardee's after church on Sunday nights. Well, we moved to Valdosta. And right after we moved, we were still getting our house together. We went up to the Valdosta Mall and to eat lunch one day, and they had a food court. Now, the Valdosta Mall was not near as big as it is today, and it wasn't near as big as some of the ones up here in Atlanta. So they had 7 or 8, maybe 9 or 10 food venues there, that food court. And that was, boy, I mean, that was quite a choice. And I remember us going to the food court, and I told the boys, I said, all right, look around at what you see, and you can pick whatever you want for lunch. Well, my oldest son, he just immediately went to where he was going. He didn't have any, of course, we went and even paid for it. He didn't have any problem. But my youngest boy, Joel just stood there. Now, you'd have to know my youngest. Joel never stood still anywhere. But he just stood there with his mouth open. And we finally said, Joel, what do you want? He didn't say a word. Another few seconds, Joel, what do you want? We said it a third time. Joel, what do you want? And then this is what he said. Man, look at all the choices. He ain't had those kind of choices before. Folks, we all have choices in life. But when it comes to God speaking to us, you don't have a choice if you're going to walk with God. If you've really listened to him, and if you've heard him speak, the only choice you got is obedience or disobedience. If you've truly heard God speak, the evidence will always be do what he says. Obey him. Remember, he's Lord. He's in charge, not you. We forget that sometimes, don't we? And if you disobey him, you harden your heart. You know the danger of a hardened heart? It's not that God stops speaking to a hardened heart. It's the fact that your heart gets so hard you can no longer hear God speak. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the admonition of your word to hear you. Lord, I thank you that you're a God who loves us enough as your children that you want to speak. You have spoken. You continue to speak. Lord, today to guide your people, to comfort your people, to lead your people. Oh, how you speak. And Lord, how we bless you for that.
Help us to be people who are quick to hear, to receive what you say, to walk in obedience to it. Lord, for those this morning that are here, maybe they've never come to faith in Jesus. Oh, you've knocked on their door time and time before. You've convicted them of their need of a Savior. They've sensed that tug to come to Christ. Well, that's just how you work in the life of a lost person. But they've not received it, and they've not obeyed. Lord, today, would you grant them grace to be able to respond? As even now, you're knocking on their heart's door and calling them to salvation. Lord, would you grant them the grace they need and the faith they need to be able to step out, to trust you, to come to Jesus, to come today to commit their life to him, to follow him as Lord and Savior. Help them to make that step of faith. And then maybe today, as a believer who is here today, who's hardened their heart, for whatever reason, they've turned a deaf ear to you. Oh God, would you break that heart? Would you soften that heart? Once again, may you speak, and may you give them what they need to be able to obey you. Lord, this is our prayer today. If you're here today and you've never been saved, as we stand and sing a closing song today, would you come today and give your heart to Jesus? We want to help you. As soon as we begin to sing, would you step out from where you'll be standing, make your way to myself or one of these men that will be standing down front, and just all you need to say is, look, I need to give my heart to Jesus, and we'll have someone sit down with you, share with you from God's word what God has to say to you about coming to Christ, about eternal life, about having your sins forgiven. Would you come? Would you do that? Would you make that step of faith today? Christian, this altar is open and God has called you and speaking to you, or any other decision that's on your heart, you be obedient to what God says. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand to your feet? You respond as we sing together.